Hello, welcome back to the Coach Enya podcast. So this week I have a guest on and I'm really excited about this guest being on because they're probably one of the reasons why I am a coach. And I'm going to get into that obviously when I start chatting to him. But this guy has amassed over 1 million followers across all his social media platforms, well over 1 million followers, 661,000 on Instagram and nearly shy of 500K followers on YouTube, 500,000 followers. I remember watching him when he only had a couple of thousand. YouTube is what he's most known for. Rob is a big reason I'm a coach today. He taught me so much. He was one of the first people in Ireland back in 2015 to start making videos teaching people about nutrition and exercise in layman's terms before the internet became saturated with coaches today, myself being one of them. He has become so successful from when I watched him make clips in his old house, shared accommodation, where he worked on building his passion into a career. He was able to buy a home in Marbella recently, where he currently lives and still makes his YouTube videos. He travels all around the world for a living. What a job. Owns his own protein pancake company, Fuel Cakes. Is an ambassador for global gym clothing brand Alphalete. I've often bought from them. Their stuff is top quality. And I also watched a YouTuber who made the brand is Christian Guzman. And he's also an ambassador for Ghost Supplements, like huge global brands, guys. And he's a best-selling author. I actually have his book too. But above all, he's still a coach today and still absolutely loves it. He's a shining example of what happens when you choose to chase your passion. So let's get into it and hear his story.
So Rob Lipsit, delighted to have you on the podcast. I don't think people understand how excited I am to have you on because this is like a full circle moment. And I'm gonna tell the listeners why. First of all, hello.
What's up?
So I started watching you back. I started getting into training. There was a guy across the road from me. I went to school with him and he was taking on his first couple of clients. And I was like, do you know what? I need to make a change. I'm sick of being lazy. I want to like start working out and stuff. Like what better guy to do it with than someone I know? So I went over to him and I learned a lot from him. He was a lovely guy. I learned so much from him and, you know, broke out of that kind of toxic diet culture. And I was telling my own mate about it and he goes, oh, I'm watching this guy on YouTube. He's really like that too. His name is Rob Lipsit. I actually bought one of his plans. So I was like, oh, I've never watched YouTubers before, but I'll do it. I actually learned so much from you, Rob. Like I can't even emphasize because I know people listen to this podcast and they want to learn stuff and they follow me on Instagram to learn stuff. But you are my person that I learned off.
Thank you so much. You don't know how much that means to me. Like, to this day, that's still hearing stuff like that makes me just beyond happy. So I just can't say how grateful I am for that. Thank you.
I remember bumping into you in the Aviva. It was like the fan zone. It was going back a good few years ago. Like I think I hadn't even like got a PT series at the time. I was just like learning to like love fitness and training and stuff and, you know, improving my eating. And I actually approached you. I got a picture with you. I didn't get time to get it up, but I actually approached you and I was like, oh, you're the reason that I'm able to kind of like maintain the calorie deficit now. Like, you know, you've helped me improve my relationship with food and stuff. Like it feels like such a full circle moment. Now I have you on my podcast as a PT talking to another PT.
It only took 10 years, but isn't that nice that we're still going?
But it's great. It really is. I mean, we're just briefly speaking before I record the podcast, how people think that, you know, if anyone does want to start like a fitness Instagram page or YouTube or anything in general, I know I come from a background of comedy and coaching now too, but yourself, is that we aren't overnight successes. And you see people coming up now on TikTok and stuff and their following is just multiplying by the day. But like, we had to start when no one else was doing it, you know, and it was hard back then when it wasn't like, a trend.
So we didn't even have a vertical content. Like we didn't even have TikTok we're showing our age here a lot, but like we didn't even have like vertical content. We had static posts and then we had YouTube videos. I don't think you could even post videos on Facebook. Even it wasn't popular at the time. My first kind of form of media was actually writing. So I was actually writing really long statuses on Facebook. So that was like my first venture into social media was actually writing. And then it evolved into YouTube. And that's where things started really going for me. But nowadays, you can definitely, now you can go viral overnight. You can get your 100,000 followers on TikTok overnight. Are you really building a real business? Are you building a real community? Are you actually making an impact on people? In my opinion, oftentimes not. If someone literally watches a 5-second TikTok of you and then taps, swipes up on their phone and goes on to the next cat video, are you building a relationship with that viewer compared to if someone watches a 40-minute or 3-hour podcast or like a YouTube video where you have a whiteboard breaking down the science and the psychology behind nutrition? The impact, it's just not comparable. It's just not comparable. So that's been the biggest key for me in building, I hate to say the word, success over the last couple of years. It's focusing on community and impact instead of just quick little viral hits that don't actually mean anything, you know? And I know a lot of these trainers that, you know, some do really well in vertical and I still do vertical as well, but like, you know, they're not, their businesses aren't growing on the back end. They may be growing TikTok followers, but their actual business isn't growing. So a lot of people we look at like, oh, let's just get 100,000 followers. Let's get followers, 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 likes, likes, likes. They're not actually building a real community and making a real impact. So, you know, if you do want to do that, be patient, play the long game and, you know, put in the work.
It's so true. It actually freaks me out sometimes because I remember how slow it was for me to build my following on, you know, across, it was just Instagram and Facebook, I suppose. And I was probably like yourself, obviously with YouTube too, but how quickly people are growing their followings these days. And it's just, it freaks me out a bit because it's like you said, is there a sense of community or are they just following to be nosy? Are they just following because, oh, this person has 200,000 followers, I'll just follow them. And it's, yeah, it freaks me out a bit. Whereas I'm kind of like, I've been on that train. I've already grown the following with the comedy page. So now I'm not in a rush to grow the following with the fitness page. I'm like, I want to actually put out content I enjoy making and not just be, I suppose, one of the sheep, like, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, there's actually, there's so much analogies and comparisons between your physique, like your fitness goals, your business goals, and even social media. In all three, the slower, the better.
I totally agree. I really do. And it sometimes puts pressure on you. Like, do you ever get imposter syndrome or like comparison, be like, oh, you know, what did I do wrong? Like, why are they like, you know, 600,000 followers in like 3 months and I'm like 10 years?
Completely. No, completely. And that's like, you got to train yourself not to feel that. Now, I still do. I still get such imposter syndrome and we all play the comparison game. And it's so hard not to play the comparison game because there's literally like numbers on front of you and you have your number. It's like as Black Mirror, you know, like it's like you're literally ranking each other on social status. So you kind of have to take, it's crazy. So you kind of have to take a step back and just be like, this is like, it's not real life. You know, I know people with 10,000 followers who are multimillionaires. They're not even on social media. And, you know, they're killing it in business. And you kind of have to take a step back and say, this is not, you know, an accurate depiction of real life and how happy someone is, you know. So if you're always just playing the comparison game, you're going to drive yourself insane. And one thing, right, that has helped me retain my sanity for the last 10 years, okay, you got to be stoic on all fronts. Okay, stoic in business, stoic when it comes to social media, stoic in everything. And what I mean by that is, this is so important. When things are going bad, when things are going downwards, don't get caught up in it. And even more importantly, when things are going well, don't get caught up in it because neither lasts forever. And it's even more important not to focus and get all high on life when things are going well. That's even, people think the opposite. People think, oh, don't get too caught up when things are going bad. No, it's the opposite. When things are flying, things, oh God, I'm blowing up, I'm going viral. Oh my God, I just had my best month of sales. Don't get caught up in that because that will never last forever. You will never, things will never just go up and up in like a rocket ship trajectory. So you need to train yourself to be stoic at all times, but even more so during the good times.
I totally agree. And you know what? It makes you appreciate the good times more because you remember how low the bad times were. And I think it's unrealistic to assume that, I suppose, oh, once I get to this milestone, I'm going to be happy. Or once I get to this weight, I'm going to be happy. Because you remember that they are only momentarily, like they don't last forever. And I remember hearing a quote before that, like, you can't be happy all the time. I think you can have moments of happiness. Like if someone said to you, are you happy? And you're like, well, I'm happy right now. You know, I'm not happy all the time. I think that would probably be somewhat me. Like, what about yourself?
Yeah, so you're not meant to be happy the whole time. You know? And another thing, I'm sure we will go, like, you've got me at a good time, by the way. It's the morning time. I've just got to work out in, heavily caffeinated. I could go for hours right now, okay? Calendar, schedule's clear, right? So one thing that we'll probably get into it about, like, mental health and everything, right? Depression and anxiety. Everyone always says, oh, you know, these are bad words. You're meant to feel them. They're human emotions that we're all meant to feel at times. We're not meant to be happy the whole time. We're meant to feel sadness. We're meant to feel depressed. We're meant to feel anxious. There's a whole host of reasons that our body and our minds feel like this. So I love what you said there. There's moments of happiness. Life shouldn't just be all one, happy, 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 you know?
Oh, it's so true. Like, what day did you catch me on? Like, and do you ever notice when you have a bad day? Okay, I literally just put it down to a bad day. I'm like, today is just a bad day. Tomorrow is just going to be a fresh slate. It's you can't paint everything with the one brush, you know. I think I think you're a very happy person. You're a very positive person, and I get that vibe from all your videos. I love your outlook on life. But let's get into how Rob Lipsa started. How did you establish this? Because I remember when you used to sellotape your phone to a wall, and now you have your own villa in Marbella. You bought it. Like, how? Your journey is just amazing. It's really inspiring. So yeah, let's start from day one.
For sure. It's been a surreal journey. And like kind of what you mentioned on imposter syndrome, I feel someone's about to kick in the door at any stage and be like, jigs up, let's go. It's all gone. You know, we're taking it. So I'm like, I still have that imposter syndrome. And like, it seems only like yesterday I began, you know, because just you kind of lose your comprehension of time, really. You know, it doesn't feel like 10 years. So I feel it's all happened really fast. So I'm like, oh man, it's just been a crazy journey. But so for me, it started, let's like, you know, go back to school. I was a complete failure in every single subject. I was bottom of my year. Like I had the worst results. Am I leaving cert in the whole year and everything? And I was so worried about what my future would hold. I was like, I'm going to just not get into a good college. I'm never going to get a good job. I'm just going to get, like, you know, turned away from every job I apply for. I'm like, I can't see what my vision, my future looks like. And that's a really scary feeling, not having any like direction or feeling a bit hopeless. And that's like a big problem with the education system as well. We don't like talk to kids about what they're good at. We say, hey, if you can't do maths and Irish, you're dumb. You're an idiot. And so I thought I was the biggest failure, and I had like actually a really negative mindset when I was like 17, 18. And then I, of course, you know, did terrible in the Leaving Cert. I scraped by into a college course that I just didn't like. I really hated it. And I failed that as well. And I failed first year college. And then they said, okay, you have to repeat the year now. And then so I did second year, and right now I'm like the oldest kid in the class because I like to repeat. And then I failed that year again. And this was a point I just felt even more lost and directionless than I had already felt. I couldn't get out of bed. I'd be in bits every day. I just said, I don't know what I'm going to do with my future. And then I said, what is the only thing I'm good at? What's the only thing I enjoy doing? The only thing. I've no other hobbies. And that's pumping iron in the gym, baby. So I said, okay, this sounds ridiculous. Like, how am I gonna, you know, make a living out of this? And you know, so I said to my parents, hey, like, I want to be a personal trainer. I don't want to do like this degree. I'm never gonna pass it. I'm just gonna fail year after year, which is probably true. And they said, okay, you know, whatever. And I was also working in retail at the time, working a load of different jobs. So I scraped together like enough money to pay for the course. And I actually did it in Raw Gym Portobello. It's, you know, so many years ago when that gym was even still open. And for the first time in my life, I passed an exam. And I got like pretty much 100%. I didn't get a single wrong answer. And the best part about it is I didn't even study for it. I didn't even have to study for it. And I go, oh my God, I finally found something I'm good at. I finally found something I'm passionate about. And that's fitness. And that's why I've been in this game so long. Like, yeah, you see Villa Marbella, you see me, I go out, you know, I go on holidays and stuff. At the end of the day, the only thing I really care about is fitness, training, nutrition. It's the only thing I know about. And it's the only thing I'm actually passionate about. And you can take all the nice holidays and everything. You can strip that all back. all the most important thing to me in life is fitness and health. So, right, I'm about 19 here. I passed my personal trainer exam. And I say, okay, all right, we're finally making a little bit of progress in life. And then, you know, I'm training my friends, my family in Raw Gym Portobello. And I see all these American YouTubers like Christian Guzman and the likes, and who are my friends now. And I say, well, no one in Ireland is doing this. So I'm going to get all the information that I know, that I spent all my free time learning about, and I'm going to start putting it on social media. And then that's when I kind of started on Facebook.
It's crazy. Like, and, you know, looking back, I'm the same myself. Like, how grateful are we? I just have moments of gratitude that we actually get to do something that we love because we took the risk. I mean, we were lucky to be able to take that risk and, you know, follow our passion, something that we're passionate about, because I had a very similar journey to you. I went to school, I went to college, and I felt I had to follow society, you know, the rules of society. And it wasn't until like my last couple of years of college where I was like, started picking up the videos and stuff. And I was like, I actually think I found something I love doing more. And I always loved business studies. And I know that's why I suppose gone down the road of starting multiple businesses, but it's just taking that risk. And it's like you said about school, I think it needs to be taught more. Obviously, we can't cater to every single need that a child has in terms of their passion, but there should be a subject, there should be 40 minutes a day where let's explore something you enjoy that you can, you know, excel
on. I love that. I was never asked once. Like, they're like, hey, what would you really actually like to do? Like, they just give you a list of courses. Remember, what's it called? Like the CAO?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I was just like, they just show you at like 17. Look at a picture of yourself when you're 17. You're a baby. You're literally a baby. They show you like a list of things. You're 17. They're like, all right, you're going to do one of these for the rest of your life. That's it. They just throw it into you. Like, if I was principal of a school, you know, I'd be chatting to all the fellas. I'd be like, guys, you know, what do you like to do? You know, what can we get you into? And they'd be like, I'd be like, oh, you don't want to go to college? That's cool. There's 100 ways around it. You know, and maybe I should start my own school.
They used to have these career days. I don't know if you remember them, but you used to have to like do this test where like they would tell you what type of personality you had, and then they would send you over to a table and be like, yeah, you'd be more suited to being a guard. And I'm like,
like, it doesn't make any sense. They'd be like, yeah, this guy's batshit insane, he's a lost cause, next.
and then, you know what, it can impact your confidence too, because I also remember going into like a guidance counselor and they tell you like, oh, you know, we think that you should do ordinary level maths, and you're like, am I crap? Like, am I just not academically well? Like, it's awful actually.
I did ordinary maths, right? And they actually tried to make me do pass maths like up until the very day. And I was like, guys, like, if you do pass maths, you pretty much you're just failed in already. And I got, they were like, are you sure? And I was like, just give me the ordinary, like, just come on, I can do this. I got 41% in ordinary maths. So like, I was like 1% away from like failing my entire leaving cert and having to do it all again. So like, safe to say, I have scraped by.
But look at you now.
Exactly. You know, and my advice to myself back then, and because well nowadays there's just infinite opportunity, but what I would have said to myself was to say, Rob, you know, don't be afraid to take a different path. And like, you know, it's some quote you've probably heard before, it's like, oftentimes the best road is the road less traveled. And so like, and also this is a quote I live by. Foot, I'm gonna come out with a lot of quotes on this podcast. If you want to live like the 1%, you need to observe what the 99% do and then do the complete opposite. So observe what the majority are doing and then do the complete opposite. Eat differently, train differently, work differently, everything. That's how you get into the top 10.
And you know, I totally agree. And I remember this quote as well, like, you are a product of your environment. And look, I still have some of the same friends that I have from school, but it can be quite a lonely journey because they aren't in the same boat as you. They're like, oh, well, you know, I want to go and do a 9-to-5. That's perfectly fine too. But it can be lonely because you're operating your social media. I seen a meme before, you know, where all like the Spider-Mans are pointing at each other.
yeah, of course. Like, I love that one.
You're your own marketing company, your CEO, like your personal assistant.
I just sent that to a friend. I literally just sent that exact one.
Yeah, and I don't think they understand sometimes that, oh, you're on your phone again, you're out with us. And it's like, no, obviously there is times where you do need to switch off, but sometimes it can be a lonely journey because they don't understand that you're a one-man band. And, you know, when you get to a place where you are successful, you can start hiring assistants and you can take some weight off your shoulders and stuff. But it is lonely, but it's totally worth it. It's totally worth it. I wouldn't change it for the world. I'm sure you agree.
Yeah, so there's funny you mentioned that. My friends like that I went to school with were still like best friends. We're still really close. But there was a stage when I first started YouTube in 2014, and I was kind of like building the foundations. I was trying to make it pretty much. And so between 2014, 15, 16, I didn't go out. I drank alcohol maybe 4 or 5 times a year. I didn't have any money to go out. I didn't have the time. I was just like, I need to make this work. And so I didn't see my friends for like 3 years, you know, and they understood. And thankfully, you know, now I've got all these systems set up in place. Now I've got staff and people to help me run things that I can hang out with them and go on holidays. One of my friends was just here, you know, in Marbella the last weekend. But for those 3 years, I just pretty much was on my own, you know, and I didn't go out or didn't do anything. And that's how it is, because you're not going to be able to hire all these, you know, sales team, closers, app developers, graphic designers, videographers, video editors. Just do that from the get-go. So you're going to have to do like, I did 3 years of just shut myself off and putting the work.
It's similar to fat loss. So, you know, me and you are both coaches, and you've competed and stuff. And I'm actually currently doing a photo shoot prep at the moment. I'm 4 weeks away from it. So but the sacrifices are very similar. That if you're not willing to make the sacrifices, I used to be going out binge drinking. I used to be, you know, oh, I'll make that video tomorrow. And then you wake up and you're hungover and you can't. And suddenly
and it's face the camera. You open up the camera and you're like, who is this person?
It's yeah, it gives you a big reality check, but it's so true. And I just think that people get caught up in cycles and they get so comfortable there that, you know, deviating, and like you said, the road less followed is I suppose, no, I'm not going to take that path. I'm just going to stay right where I am. And that's what separates you from the pack, is that you took the risk.
And every single time, like when someone takes the more disciplined route, every single time they're glad they did it. Yeah, you know, myself included. And you'd be surprised. You'd think if you've got like true friends, if you just say, hey guys, look, I need to work on myself for this period of time, if they're your true friends, they will understand. And they always will. And so the last time I had a period of that was like this time last year, actually, February, March, April, May. You know, I was prepping for a competition, and I just, like, you know, you're living like a monk, like when you're about to step on stage. And I was just like, you know, didn't see anyone. And I felt great afterwards. And all my friends were still there. And, you know, I set out what I set out to do. And so people think that, oh God, I'm going to disappoint everyone. And no, you know, if you should be selfish for a while, you know, every so often.
Oh, totally agree. Like it's you again. It's a lonely journey. It is. No one understands the sacrifices that are made. And I don't know whether this comes with maturity, but you do get to a stage where you see your friends or, you know, acquaintances out on the piss on the weekend, and you get JOMO, the joy of missing out. Do you get that?
I've never heard that. Oh my God. I've been calling it anti-FOMO. JOMO's way better. Oh no. And you're like, literally myself and Linda were just like, you know, we went out last weekend because we had our friends here, and, you know, it was a great time and all. But we can only go out like once a month now. Like we're like dead for days afterwards. Like, just, you know, I'm 32 now, and it's like, I think something happens when you hit 30. It just slowly, you can't take it anymore. And now I just, oh man, I just love my weekends in.
I definitely think it comes with maturity, but in saying that, I do think there is a bit of I suppose a revolution or a renaissance. I don't know which word to use when it comes to alcohol. And I think social media has its pros and its cons, but I think it's also addressing a lot of issues and, you know, bringing light to a lot of issues like alcohol. You know, I haven't drank since Christmas, like, obviously, because I'm on photo shoot prep. But you mentioned when you were competing that, like, you know, doing something like that, giving up alcohol, being focused,
it trickled down into every other area of your life. And I think that people who don't drink alcohol now or give it up or, you know, are sober curious, even in their mid-20s, they're reaping the benefits, like their health, their productivity. You know, I'm sure your business thrived when you were competing. Not that it wasn't anyway.
Crazy. But I mean, there was a huge spike because you just have so much more energy, so much more time. And I think especially if you're a fitness coach, when people see you living that life, like you're putting in the work, people are inspired and they're like, I want to sign up to that. I want to get on that. You know, like if you're always eating like shit, who are you? And like you're going out constantly and like just you're not in shape. Who are you to tell people to get in shape? Why would your clients take you seriously? Your advice can be the same, but there's no congruency. Like it doesn't connect. It doesn't slide. If you're like stuffing your face, getting takeaways, not cooking your own food, who are you to tell people to like, hey, follow this meal plan. Hey, hit these macros when you're not doing it yourself. Even if your advice is still legit, if you're not walking the walk, your clients and people that follow you are just going to be like, well, this doesn't make sense. So yeah, you know, when people see you putting in that work, it translates over to your business.
Well, that's all. When I watched you back over 10 years ago, back in the heyday when we shot horizontally, I looked at you and I was like, I saw how you lived and I thought to myself, well, I started implementing some of those, you know, things into my life. And it's looking at other people and seeing the sacrifices they're making. And it's like, well, that's where I have to be, because the you going out, getting pissed every weekend, having takeaways constantly can't coexist with the you want to be. Like they can't.
There's just no way around it. Like you can do as much if it fits your macros as you want, but it doesn't fit your macros. Like, you know what I mean? And like one thing I'm all about being social. I'm all about having a sustainable plan and I'm all about following a plan you can adhere to. And when I go out to eat, you know, I'll always show what I order. It's always just like, you know, steak and veggies or sushi. They're usually, you know, sushi, fish and rice. It's usually pretty easy to fit in. But there's just a certain point where like you can't fit a large Domino's in. Like you can't fit like loads of cocktails in and all wine and late nights, you know. So I'm all about having a realistic plan. I'm all about staying social, but you know, you need to also put in effort too.
Yeah, and to be honest, like, you know, when you're in a deficit, like it is a small part of your year where you can just dial in and just be really, really disciplined. Like you were talking about the large Domino's there. Like just because you're looking after your health and your fitness doesn't mean you never can eat pizza again, you know?
Oh, I make like this homemade pizza like every day. And like, I'm like, I think I prefer this over stuffing myself with make Domino's, or at least that's what I tell myself.
Totally. And you're saving money as well, because the cost of living these days is a joke.
Oh, well, you know what? Marbella is cheaper than Dublin at the moment. I'm going back to Dublin next week. And, you know, every time I go back, it gets more and more expensive. It's absolutely crazy.
I'm so jealous that you live in Marbella. That is a dream of mine, to live in Spain, because I don't know anyone who is in a bad mood that lives in Spain.
Like when I literally look out and it's like deep blue skies, like it's like highlighter blue skies, I'm like, I can't really be in a bad mood. And if I just jump in the sea and I'm like, that's it, bad mood gone.
Pure serotonin.
Yeah, exactly.
What was I saying anyway? Yeah, so, you know, when some people, like, because obviously this is a podcast aimed towards health and fitness as well, but when people try to coexist, those two people try to coexist together, the old you and the new you, I try to tell clients, I'm like, look, you wanted to drop body fat. The fact that you're kind of like moaning that you can't go out and have, you know, a Domino's with your friends and stuff like that, like these are the sacrifices you have to make. You do have to. It's not all year round. It's a small part of your year. Like, how do you go about clients who they kind of want to be able to juggle both?
Ah, fantastic question. And I'm so blunt. I just go ahead. I go, yeah, go ahead. You know, like if that's what you want, go ahead. I go, is that what you want? And everyone's always like, no. Yeah, they're like, I want to be fit. I want to be healthy. I want to spend less money. I want to eat well. And I'm like, just take a step back and ask yourself what you want. Because I was like, I'm not going to make you do anything. You know, I'm not going to like force you. I'm going to ask you, what do you want? And 10 times out of 10, the answer is you know, they just they have a reframe and they're just like, you're right, you know, I don't want to do that. I don't want to feel this way. I want to be faster, more agile, leaner, healthier. I want my face to be sharper. And so when you list all the benefits that come with following a healthy routine, a healthy training and nutrition program, it's just obvious. But sometimes we do need to take a step back and say it out loud and say, okay, what do I want more?
It's so true. And I remember I actually started reading a book there, and I forget the name of it now, but it was like the early morning eight habits of like a successful person or something. But I've only started, and one of the quotes in it was, nobody wants to be, oh, I want to be kind of healthy. Yeah, I want to be kind of fit. Like, no, it's you either want to be healthy or you don't want to be healthy. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, for sure.
How do you handle such a busy lifestyle and be in such good shape at the same time? Because I'm sure that's tough as well. Obviously, you're not in a deficit all year round. No. You maintain probably most of the year. But how do you do it? I mean, with not a strict regime, but I mean, you would probably work out maybe six times a week, would you?
Yeah, so 6 times a week I'll weight train, and I've actually started running recently, which was something that was like a mental block in my head. I just thought like, oh, because I lift, I'm not a runner. And then one day I was like, right, Rob, I see everyone running 5Ks. Again, the positive effects of social media. And I was like, I see everyone getting into running, and you know, hybrid training is a real trend. Yeah. I'm like, okay, just go for a 5K, see if you can do it. And the biggest key for me was run slow. I would always just sprint like the first kilometer and get gassed out. And I was like, oh, I actually did it pretty easily. So now I've started running as well. So I'll run like maybe 2 to 3 times a week. I'll also like try get a walk in every day with Linda. And so that's like my training. I follow legs, push, pull routine for like, you know, hypertrophy style training, 3 sets of 8 to 10. So that's my training, pretty high activity level. And then in terms of my nutrition, I usually have like a very small breakfast, or I just have black coffee or a can of Monster Zero. Oh, no, not Monster. In the morning, I'll just have like caffeine in the morning, and then I'll have my first meal post-workout. So I usually train, you know, I was chatting to you before this. I usually train in the morning and then eat afterwards. And then I'll have like a really big lunch. And then I'll go into my second work block of the day, and then I'll have like a good sized dinner as well. And then like, if I need to hit my protein intake, I'll have, you know, maybe a shake or a bar in between them. But mainly I'll have like 2 to 3 really big meals a day. And like when I was first getting into the gym, I came from like, you know, I was following Ronnie Coleman and all these bodybuilders, and they're like, you have to eat 6 meals a day. And so like, I found myself really unsatisfied having like 6 smaller meals a day. And then when I kind of started learning about the science behind everything, and that it's all about really just what you eat in the entire day, and that you can split up your meal frequency according to personal preference, that just helped me massively. Like some days I'll eat breakfast, some days I won't. It's just so simple. If I have my calorie and macro goal and I hit it however my day is looking, you know, if I'm doing a big travel day and I'm going to be on the go all day, then I'll have a big breakfast, you know? So just they're like, that's like my rule to follow. I'll look at the amount that I'm meant to eat. I'll look at my day and I say, how am I going to, what's going to be the easiest way for me to distribute this? And then of course I've like a huge appetite. So I'm big on high volume. So I'll eat like these huge salad bowls, a lot of vegetables, you know, a high protein diet. I actually eat a lot more protein than my body actually needs just for hunger reasons, you know? So I'm about like 180, 175 pounds. So about 160 grams of protein would be perfect for me, but I eat about 200 grams a day just because of the satiety reasons. You know, your protein intake, it stops you getting hungry. If I'm hungry, then just say to someone, oh, go eat a plate of plain chicken breast. You probably won't even be able to. Like you probably won't actually be able to stomach it, you know? So oftentimes an answer to, you know, your hunger, and if you find yourself hungry, just up your protein intake and, you know, reduce your meal frequency. So there's 2 things that I do that massively help with appetite. And then in terms of like social events as well, let's say I know I'm going for a lunch with a friend on Saturday. You know, if I really want to stay lean at the time, I will taper my carbs and fats down low 2 days beforehand, do an extra bit of cardio, and that's it, you know, and then just make a healthy choice. But I don't, what people, some people do is they'll overly restrict themselves too much leading up to an event, and they'll just have a huge binge episode. So you don't want to have these like massive, you know, restrictive periods and then binge periods in your diet. And that's another thing as well. Some people talk about like carb cycling and refeeds and all that, which can be done and which can be affected. But personally, I recommend just keeping your nutrition, your calorie intake at a similar level throughout the week.
That's one thing I learned from you early on, Rob, is that I used to overthink everything because there was just so many messages out there, like toxic diet culture, don't do this, you know, eat your chocolate on a handstand and it'll be less calories. Like, it's just ridiculous. And it was, do you know what it was? It was these magazines in these doctors' waiting rooms or surgeries and stuff. It's just, I dropped a stone, but I still ate a square of chocolate every day. And I'm like, okay, maybe I'll just cut it down to one square of chocolate. But when I watched your videos, like, you explained it in such layman's terms that I was like, oh, so, you know, it doesn't matter what time of day I eat once I hit my calorie goal. And, you know, so that's how much protein I should be eating. And that's why I should be eating protein. Whereas we were getting our information from magazines a lot of the time, like back then, you know. Now there's an abundance of information. Yes. And thankfully there is a lot of coaches online who are still, I suppose, delivering positive messages a bit about calorie deficits and stuff. And but there is still...
there's still some Liver King carnivore diet guys out there. You know, there's... But I think overall, the quality of nutrition information available has improved vastly compared to, say, the 90s. You know, when you were just had to open up a monthly magazine and be like, oh, this month we have this. You know, and so I remember, like, when I was first getting into lifting, I'd follow like bodybuilding websites, which were crap as well. And it was all the 6 meals a day and eat like an insane amount of protein. And if you didn't have a post-workout shake, the workout was pointless. And, oh, you have to eat these certain fast digesting foods pre-workout, all this nonsense. And that kind of led me to start seeking out the evidence and go into the evidence-based fitness field. So I found guys like Alan Aragon, Brad Schoenfeld, Lyle McDonald, all these guys who are like scientists, not bodybuilders, that are just giving an evidence-based approach. And so I'm so glad that I found that information early on, because it's like, it's kind of like how, like, the first information you follow, you can either be lucky, because you don't know any better. You can either be lucky and find good evidence-based information, or you can fall on like the carnivore Liver King area, you know. So I was very lucky to land in the right camp very early on. But yeah, you know, you just got to simplify things and give it an evidence-based approach. And they're like two of the biggest like problems or questions that clients come to me, and meal timing, and also thinking there's certain magic foods, like so thinking like, oh, there's certain foods that are like you can't eat, or certain foods that are going to provide magical benefits. Like, oh, I have to eat kale and blueberries and all this, which are great foods, but like, you know, they're not going to change the game for you. Another one is people eating too much healthy food. So they'll eat loads of sweet potatoes and peanut butter and all this, and their calories will be completely out of whack. And they wonder why they can't lose body fat.
Sometimes I think we can be ignorant because we are so educated. Well, I learned a lot of stuff from you. I know I went off and I did a PT course, but we can be so ignorant because we are so educated. It's very hard to unlearn, like Rob, even if I wasn't in a calorie deficit and I wasn't at maintenance or whatever, and I try to like deviate from tracking calories, it's very hard for me to like look at a meal now and be like, yeah, I'd say that's about 60 grams of carbs. Like I'm the
exact same, but I'm so grateful for that. Oh, sorry, wait, somebody called me there. No, I'm so great. Oh, sorry, wait, where are you gone now? Hold on. Okay, sorry, dude, that's my WhatsApp's connected to my phone. You shut that off. But yeah, I'm so like ingrained in that as well, that like I will look at a meal, I'll see the macros, the calories, but I'm like, I'm grateful for that. Like that's helped me so much, you know, throughout the years, staying.
Oh, totally. You can't unlearn it. But then when you get DMs from people who you don't even coach, they're just like genuinely curious. They're like, hey, should I be having a protein shake after a workout or beforehand? And I used to think like that. And then, you know, watching people like you, I learned. And even though the people who follow you, like not every single person is going to engage with you or text you. But they are learning from you. And, you know, we often get the odd text message. Oh, I've started doing this because I've been watching your stuff and, you know, it's been life changing. I used to do it this way and it was awful. But do you think, what would you say to people who overthink everything when it comes to starting a calorie deficit?
So a quick one on the post-workout and like meal timing thing there. I had like, a comment, just I was going back and forth in the comments on, like, it was one of my like full day of eating videos on Instagram, and it was probably like the best way I've ever summarized things. Someone was like, oh no, you're meant to have fast digesting carbs 1 hour before your workout. And I go, you probably haven't even digested it by the time you're working out. Like, you haven't even shat it out yet. People think that nutrition is like this, you eat it and straight away. It's like, it's not how it goes. Like, so there's certain foods that take up to 24 hours to digest. So trying to like pinpoint these hourly times, especially if you're just like talking body composition, it's just complete guess. So that was just a little side tangent there. But sorry, wait, what's the question you asked after the protein one?
Yeah, so it's just about people who do overthink things too much. Like, oh, like for example, I know you have the Game Plan app. I have a coach on your platform too. And, you know, some clients be like, oh, my calories are higher on some days when they get their nutrition plan, and they're lower on other days. Why is this? Why do I have to eat high calories? And they kind of get freaked because they see they have to eat high food, but they're actually still in a calorie deficit. They just don't go over that threshold. So it's overthinking things and panicking that if they deviate even slightly, it's, you know, the end of the world.
Yeah, exactly. So I would say to them that, you know, zoom out and look at the bigger picture. So I do get all my clients that I work one-on-one with, I get them to do daily weigh-ins and then take a weekly average. So like, they're always like, they'll freak out over, they have a high weigh-in for whatever reason, they'll have a meal late at night, or they'll drink more water, or they'll have a high sodium meal and they'll freak out. And I go, guys, zoom out, weekly average, we're going like this. And that's the same with everything. You know, it's all trying to pinpoint these hourly things and these daily fluctuations, you'll go insane. So I always say, just zoom out, relax, look at the trends, look at the bigger picture. And that applies to like everything. It applies to your body composition, your weigh-ins, your diet, your training, nutrition. So don't worry about like the day-to-day stuff, and just zoom out. And that's why I love the rule. And it's true. You know, the most important thing when it comes to your diet is just, how much do you eat in a day? So many people, they worry about, what should I have for breakfast? Oh, is my lunch right? What about dinner? Should I have a post-workout shake? And it's just like, relax. What did you eat in the entire day? That's the main thing.
It totally comes down to that.
It's so simple. And people just it's so uncommon. I can't understand it.
Like, I remember years ago when, you know, I was only like in my early 20s, I would join a gym and I would go and do 40 minutes on, probably not even, on a cross trainer. And then I would come home and have like 6 biscuits. And oh my God, I just put it all back on. Like, even though I shouldn't be eating 6 biscuits after, like, cardio, you know.
40 biscuits, right? Yeah.
And then I think, okay, well, I've just basically gained it all back. No, you haven't, because at the end of the day, you burned 200 calories in that session. So you're actually minus 200 calories at the end of the day, you know.
But then people forget that. It's like, you know, your body's got to burn calories to stay alive.
That's a big one. That is a big one. Like, they get so caught up as well, you know, on their Fitbits and their Apple Watches. Oh, I burned 300 calories in this workout. And then the next day they only burned 200. And they're like, I didn't work hard enough.
Yeah, I don't have one. I don't wear one, you know. I heard good things about the Whoop. And, you know, if you want to wear one, sure thing. But I think, so there's so many things that we've got to track and manage. It's just adding another one to the list, you know. And another thing is, like, I don't track my water intake, for example. I'm just always sipping water, just make sure I'm hydrated. I'm not like, I need to have 4.5 liters a day. If you just keep adding things to track, you know, you're just going to get burnt out. So I just track the most important ones, which is, of course, you know, what you're eating in a day. And of course, your lifts in the gym. And then, like, I'll make sure I try to get as much sleep as possible, I'll aim for 8 hours, but I don't like really track it, you know? So I only really track two things, and that's like my training and nutrition.
And I think what happens is why people give up so quickly is they try to master everything in 1 week because they want to get results as quick as possible. But this is a lifestyle. So, like, allow yourself time to adjust to this and adapt to this new lifestyle, because I think, okay, week one, let's just work on upping your protein with each meal, you know, maybe not even track a calorie. Like, it's, let's work on that down the line. But I think that's why some people can't stick to it, is because they just go overboard.
Yeah, and that's just perfect what you said. So, like, if I was starting with a complete beginner, I'd be like, okay, let's get 2 weight training sessions this week. Next week, we'll do 3. Hey, let's get 8,000 steps. And like, I do work with some complete beginners. And this is what I do. And they'll be like, all right, let's go for like maybe, you know, 5,000-6,000 steps, because they're going from sedentary. And go, you know, we'll build up to that magic 10K number eventually. Not a big deal. Oh, hey, don't worry about track your macros. Just try eat protein at every single meal and, you know, cook as much of your own food as possible. You know, so you start making these little changes, and it can be like weeks until you're at that level where you're, you know, tracking your lifts in the gym and tracking your nutrition. But the worst thing you can do with someone, and people are often surprised to hear me, like a men's physique competitor, say this, but it's start off slow. You start off slow and build up to these big habits over time, because you got to keep in mind, this is not a 12-week program, 16-week program. Yeah, that's how we start. But this is ideally a 10-year program. You know, I've been lifting for like 14 years now, and that's the stage you want to get to. You know, you want it to be a complete lifestyle overhaul.
I put up a before and after picture of myself, like from 2 years of building muscle, just because I'm quite lean now. You can actually see the fruits of my labor underneath it all. So someone had texted me being like, I want this, but 2 years with an eye rolling face. And I'm like, there's no way to cheat it.
Like, oh my God. Like 2 years is pretty fast. Yeah. I'm like, wait till I tell you, it's going to probably be like 5 years. Do you know, like, do you know what I say? Do you know what I kind of equate it to? Getting braces.
Like, oh yeah,
it's literally like, it's gonna take years, but you're always glad you did it.
And you know what, I think what my biggest turning point was, you know, I used to stop start, and you know, if the scale went up, I'd just give up. Oh, this is not working. But I was like, no, like, this drop is gonna come, I'm just gonna stick to it, and I don't care if the scale drops or if it spikes, you know, I'm sticking to this regardless. And that's when the results started coming in, because I started treating it like a lifestyle rather than, I suppose, looking at a finish line. You know, obviously, like, I'm in photo shoot prep at the moment, there is a finish line to this, but I will still go back to, you know, going to the gym on a weekly basis, walking daily, and still looking after my diet. But you can't keep thinking, oh, there's a finish line, only 2 more weeks now and I can go back to old me.
Yeah, exactly. And so that's one thing I was so careful of when I competed last year. So I'll actually tell you a quick little, like, competing history of mine.
I was actually going to ask you about this. Yeah. I remember you speaking about it.
Definitely. And so the first time I competed, like, I was super young. And again, a lot of this comes with maturity, but I was super young, and like, I deprived myself, as you do leading up to show day. And I was really nervous. I also like didn't do well in the show. And so afterwards, I drowned myself in calories, drowned my misery in calories. And like, I had the worst rebound ever. And I had an eating disorder. Like, I just have to call it what it is. I could not control what I put in my mouth for like maybe 3 to 4 months afterwards that. And it actually really made me sympathize and understand people that do have proper eating disorders for years on end, that it actually feels like you're under a spell. It actually, like, I'd never experienced it before. I was like, what the fuck? Like, if there's something on the counter, I just couldn't not eat it. And thank God, eventually, you know, I was considering going to a professional, but thankfully it kind of just like, you know, it kind of just, I weaned off it. Like, I just went back to my normal diet, but it took me months. And I learned so much from that after you do set yourself a goal, be it a competition, a holiday, a photo shoot, which is all well and good. Like, of course, it's great to set yourself little mini milestones, but be sure to have a plan put in place for afterwards to not completely fall off and binge and go crazy. You know, you're just not going to feel good. And so then I've competed about, I think, 4 or 5 times since then. And I've always, you know, done my best, and I haven't really rebounded. Nothing like the first one afterwards that. And even especially, like, I'm getting better at it every time. Like the one I did last year, I'm about like 3 weeks away from stage leanness at the moment, you know? So I've gotten really good at, you know, maintaining a lean physique, but that has not always been the case. The first time I competed, I think I gained like 25 pounds, like straight
away. Wow. Oh my God.
And you feel so bad, because you go from looking your best, your face, everything. You do like the opposite of a transformation in the space of a week. Not good for your mental health. So if you're working with someone and you've got a date put in place, it's more important to even look at the weeks after that instead of before.
The reverse diet. Yeah, I always say to people, once they get in shape for holiday, they come back and they just go back to old habits. But I'm like, why? Like, you've worked so hard to earn this physique. Like, no one's saying that you have to go back to, you know, living on, not that you do, but living on a head of lettuce and you know, chicken breasts. But I mean, why can't you keep up the daily walk, and why can't you keep up the gym workouts? Like, let's, because someone made a good point actually recently. I mean, trying to stay about 4 kg away from holiday condition is very achievable.
Oh yeah, that's where I try myself, you know, usually, yeah, 4 kg, which is about 6 pounds or something. Like there's no reason, especially if you're like a trainer, you know, again, I go back to like walking the walk. There's no reason you should be like ballooning up and blowing out. And if there is, well, then you need to strip everything back and look at your program and say, is this sustainable? Is this, you know, can I adhere to this? And if not, then you need to sit down with someone and come up with a new plan. And that's also another thing that pissed me off with trainers as well. Like they're all talking about like flexible dieting, sustainability, adherence. And it's like, well, you can't sustain it. So like, what are you saying? You know, so how do you expect other people to do that if you can't sustain it? So that's why, like, one thing I'm very proud of myself is that I walk the walk, you know?
And that's one of the reasons I'm doing a photo shoot prep. This is my second one. And the first one was only 9 weeks and it was kind of like a little walk in the park. This one is like hell. Like I feel like I'm running the last mile of a marathon, like the last couple of weeks. Like that's, but I'm so transparent with my followers. I'm like, I want you to look at me and look how miserable I am. I'm delighted I'm doing this. I want to push myself. But this is what it takes to maintain a physique like this. And you can't do that all year round. It's not sustainable. You know, you have to have a life. You have to be able to eat out with friends, you know, go on holiday and stuff. And you can't have veins popping out of your arms, your legs, your abs.
Even I can't sustain it. Like there's most people, like Linda doesn't even notice like the difference between like stage lean and, you know, me currently. But it's like, I've like veins on my stomach, like, it's pretty gross, but when I'm like competing and I can't sustain that. But so what I often say when I'm like sitting down with a one-on-one client and we're talking about the goals that where you want to end up, I go, okay, we need to tick a few boxes here. We need to like get to a physique that requires effort, but you can still sustain it and that you feel good at. So those like three boxes. Okay. It's not going to be easy and requires effort. You know, but you will still be able to sustain it. And then you also look and feel good at. You know, so once you tick those boxes, and oftentimes it's like one box will cancel out the other one. So it's like you like how it looks, but you can't sustain it. So then you have to go back a little bit. So once you tick all the boxes, then that's a good goal to aim for.
Because even I try to be transparent as well, being like, you know, competing for stage or doing a photo shoot prep is very different to just a normal calorie deficit because there's way more sacrifice involved, like zero alcohol. Yep. You can't eat out. Like that's not, you wouldn't want to live like that all year round. Like that's not a life.
Exactly. And it's not something I'd recommend, you know, cool to do every once in a while, but not something I would do year round.
So just to finish up, what's in the pipeline for you, Rob? Is there any more massive projects? Is coaching still, not looking for figures here, I'm not the tax man, but is coaching still a large part of your revenue? Or, you know, is it something they still do a lot full time?
Yeah, so it's actually like my main source of income. So I have two kind of tickets or tiers, whatever you want to call them. And, you know, the lower ticket option is the app, which is Game Plan, which is, you know, depending, sometimes I have sales on, but usually it's about 30 to 40 euro per month. And that's completely personalized, updated every month, 24/7 customer support, meal plan, macros, lifting program, video gallery, recipes, even a mental health section there. Absolutely everyone. But that's for people that just want the program to be told what to do, still get it updated, like still very personalized, but they go do their own thing. And then now one thing that I've started doing in the last like 2 years is I work with like 15 individuals, one-on-one, super intensive, guaranteed results. You know, that is me texting you on WhatsApp on your ass. You know, you've got Rob Lipson as your alarm clock. so that's the higher ticket option as well. And that's really cool. It's all guys because my audience is like 95% men. So it's all guys that I could just be straight up with, and just the people in that group, they get like transformative results, you know. And a lot, and within that higher ticket option, you also have the option to come out to Marbella whenever you want, because like all my clients are Irish and English, so it's like, you know, a 30 quid direct flight. And so I can also, you know, train people in some of the gyms out here in
just
person.
Just put them up in your garage.
Yeah, well, I do invite them over, and we have barbecues, you know, get some pre-workout. It's really cool, and it's something it's a program I'm really proud of that I've like started doing recently. And then of course I do events. My next event is in Marbella on June 7th. So I'm about to put that live, announce that either today or tomorrow. And then, you know, I work with Alphalete and Ghost since Alfleet since 2016 and Ghost since 2018. So that's crazy, you know? And then we have
What's that like though, you know, looking up to a brand? And then I was actually going to ask you as well about visualization. So like I love Gymshark. I just love their clothes, their fit and stuff. And
they're amazing.
I visualize one day that they're going to contact me and be like, oh, we'd love you to be an ambassador. Like, and did you ever think that with Alfleet?
I used to queue up at expos at the Alfleet booth. Like, that's, I literally queued up and I said to myself, I am going to work with this brand. And so to go strip it way back, you know, into my early YouTube days, there was the LA Fit Expo. It's kind of like, you know, Body Power just in LA. And like, I flew myself out there when like, not much in my bank account, tickets to LA, flight tickets were like, you know, and hotels, the guts for grand. And I just flew myself out there and I found out where like Christian and all the Alfleet people were working out. And I like just went to work out there, you know, in chance of running into them just to get in with this company. Like if I want something, it starts with visualizing, but you also have to put yourself in the right places, the right scenarios to line yourself up for success. So that's what I did. So I completely relate to what you're saying.
And you were saying then about YouTube. So what's in the pipeline with YouTube?
Well, that is a full-time job in itself. So like with everything I've done, that's the hardest. That is the hardest out of everything. That is like, that's a business in itself. You know, you're paying for like editors, videographers, you're running around, you're thinking of videos, you're writing scripts and storylines and coming up with video ideas. It's super difficult, but it's something I'm really passionate about. So just still chipping away at YouTube. I'm nearly on 500,000 subs. So yeah. My goal is to get there before the 10-year mark. So we got a little bit of work to do, but we can do it.
You need to go back if you're listening, and you've never watched Rob, you need to go back to like some of his first videos to see just how far he's come. Because I love watching Matt Does Fitness as well. And he recently came out with a video saying that, you know, it is a full-time job, YouTube. And he's felt that like his business is thriving as well, that it's such a full-time job that he was starting to fall out of love with it, in terms of he was forcing himself to think of ideas and he wasn't enjoying it, so he took a little bit of a break, and now he feels like, you know, maybe not 2-3 videos a week, maybe it could be 1-2 videos a month. How do you, when you started off, like you were quite consistent, but you know, obviously you have all these massive opportunities and other businesses now since you've started, how do you manage that now, your time?
Oh, the exact same as Matt. I've definitely had some months where it's just simply not a priority, and you know, you just, you're kind of sat at your desk all day. Like you're sat at a laptop and you're like, oh, what can I record? Like I'm literally, I'm working a glorified desk job. You know, I'm sitting here for like 9 hours a day. So there's going to be times where you get like a creative block. And that's another thing. If you want to play this long game, don't force it and don't beat yourself up. There's times where I'd be bouncing off the walls, being like, you need to come up with an idea. You need to record. And you're not going to come up with an idea that way. Like you're literally bouncing your head off the wall and beating yourself up isn't going to lead to more ideas. So just relax, take a breather, and, you know, don't put too much pressure on yourself. And if you hit a creative block, you know, take a little bit of time off. But I go through phases where it's priority and go through months. And so, yeah, this month I've got a lot of videos planned. Also, when I'm traveling, because I'm not like a travel vlogger necessarily, I find when I'm out of my routine, I upload less. And I've kind of had the first 3 months of the year, I was traveling a lot, but now I'm staying put for a while.
Yeah, there's no place like home, even though home is Marbella / Ireland.
There you go. You should come out here as well. When you're ever out here, hit me up. We get a session in.
I love the fitness scene over in Marbella. Like I'm fascinated by it. And I just, like I said earlier in the podcast, you're a product of your environment, and like to be around other like-minded people, like that's just where I just feel happiest. It really is.
Yeah, exactly. Like I've got 5 gym memberships and like I literally just rotate between them. So I'm in heaven praying outdoors. But Marbella, of course, you can go either way. You can go, you know, you can go on the piss as much as you want. You can eat out, which, you know, when we first moved here, we did because we were so excited. But now we've done it all and we're like, the best thing here is just like, you know, eating a nice healthy meal on the beach, going for a swim and then having a barbecue and hitting the gym. You know, that's just like the ultimate feeling.
Yeah, I'd say you look at kind of younger folk coming over and you're like the master and they're still the student.
Yeah. I'm the mayor. I'm actually today at 3:30, I'm going to do a business talk. Again, there's so much like fitness and business here. It's a guy, it's like the Coach's Corner is the name of their, like, you know, they mentor coaches. So I'm going to give a talk to about like 30 or 40 coaches at 3:30. So today was a great warm up.
I actually wanted to go to your retreat in June, only for I'll be away myself. So I'll definitely come to the next one, Rob. Like, that yeah, really interests me.
Yeah, we did this same one last year. And so this is just like, I'm hoping to now make it a yearly thing.
Happy days. No, I definitely would be on board for something like that. But look, it's been great having you on, Rob. I do feel it feels like a full circle moment. And I'm sure a lot of people have gained a lot of information, a lot of encouragement. And yeah, I feel very optimistic leaving this podcast now, because I know you're a very positive person. You give off them vibes. So look,
always
best of luck with everything. I'm sure it won't be too long before we speak again. And if I do pop over to Marbella, I'll be sure to hit you up and stay in your garage.
No worries. Probably cheaper rent than Dublin, you know? But look, if there's anything you need, please hit me up. I really enjoyed catching up today. It was very nostalgic and put a smile on my face. So thanks so much, Andy.
Likewise. Thanks, Rob. Have a great day, all right?